We'd like to welcome.
Recording in progress.
I would like to welcome you all to the regular meeting of the Humble Bay Board of Commissioners for the Humble Bay Harbor Recreation Conservation District. Is that not on? I turned it on. Can you hear me, Mindy? Okay. At this point, I'd like to do the Pledge of Allegiance. Ryan, would you like to lead us?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Is my thing on when the little line thing is down?
Yep. Or, yeah, down forward. All right, a report on closed session.
Yes, there was no reportable action taken in closed session.
No reportable action taken in closed session. At this point, our public comment section of the agenda allows the public to speak to the board on the various issues not itemized on this agenda. A member of the public may also request that a matter appearing on the consent calendar be polled and discussed separate pursuant to the Brown Act. The board may not take action on any item that does not appear on the agenda. Each speaker is limited to speak for a period of 3 minutes regarding each item on the agenda. Each speaker is limited to speak for a period of 3 minutes during the public comment portion of the agenda regarding items of special interest to the public not appearing on the agenda that are within the subject matter jurisdiction of the Board of Commissioners. The 3 minute time limit may not be transferred to other speakers. The 3 minute time limit for each speaker may be extended by the president of the Board of Commissioners or the presiding member of the board at the regular meeting of the district. Callers can raise their hand by pressing *9, unmute themselves by pressing *6, or otherwise gain our attention. Oh, we'll do roll call.
Commissioner Newman? Absent. Commissioner Bowman?
I'm here.
Commissioner Higgins?
Yes.
Commissioner Marks?
Here.
Here. All right, we did roll call. You betcha. Thank you, Mindy.
Could you reread that whole public comment again, please?
You want me to start? You want me to do it slower so you get it?
Just the part about transferring your 3 minutes to the agenda item.
If you would like to speak, if you have public comment on items not on the agenda, please signify by raising your hand or gaining our attention at this time. See none. We'll move on to the consent calendar, item 8.
I'll make a motion we accept the consent calendar.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. I'm assuming we're doing roll calls on everything still. So any discussion on the consent calendar? I have a motion and a second. We don't go to the public with discussion on the consent calendar. So I will take a roll call vote, Larry.
Commissioner Coleman?
Yes.
Commissioner Higgins?
Yes.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
Yes.
Dale.
Dale.
I'm sorry.
President Dale.
All right, moving on, communications and reports, the executive director's report.
Yes, so part of this is that we are busy. So we're not going to do a detailed staff report, but I wanted to really just kind of highlight that everyone on this cruise ship has been imported a long time. I took this shot in the first place. You have a longshoreman that are getting ready to go to work and tie up the boat. And so it's great to see our maritime workers, you know, getting paid to do work on the bay. And that 700-foot vessel right there is doing a U-turn right between the Green Diamondback and Snyderback in the Chinook. And so it was pretty exciting to see that corner there. And Captain Tim Patricia was the
Captain Tim Patricia was the bar pilot on that vessel. We met with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, the Colonel, and The civilian commander or civilian head of the San Francisco District Office. And we talked about the progress they're making on the South Jetty that they're and the North Jetty, really, as they're nearing kind of completion of a lot of the work that's going on there. And also the dredge schedule that's set up for them to start in June is when they're planning to start dredging the entrance. The survey boat, I believe, is going to be here next week to start doing the pre-dredge, a lot of the pre-dredge surveys. And some of the other docks in the area are also going to get some, have surveys done at the same time. So we can get a good sort of idea of some of the improvements that other docks might need to do as far as like dredging and other things to prepare for the maritime industries here. Then really, staff has just been going like gangbusters. I just want to take a moment to say thanks to Mindy and Amber and Doug, our new staff person, Chris, Rob, the maintenance staff. There's just a lot of work that's going on. And it seems like we're treading water on a lot of things. But at the same time, when every time I go and I look at my list and I say, well, have we completed that? There's a number of things that are just being checked off left and right on our list. But the list is just long. It's longer and longer and longer. And so I think really want to take the time to thank staff for really putting in all the extra effort that they're doing for the district. And it's really, really starting to pay off.
Thanks, staff.
I'm going to keep my presentation short. And I'm going to turn it over to Chris to briefly.
So I don't have much this time to report. We are crazy busy with all kinds of tasks. Mainly lately, we've had a number of partner agency calls for service from Humboldt Bay Fire, U.S. Coast Guard. Corey Moores, our marina manager, took ports out recently, which of course works on our navigational aids in the bay. We're continuing the vessel demo down in Fields Landing. We've moved on to the Arcturus, so we are making great progress down there. We did pump off a great deal of fluids from that. We have that scheduled for pickup next week. So far, so good. Let's see. I think that's really the bulk of it. So nothing too much to report, but and thank you. So I'll extend your thanks to the staff. They have been going like gangbusters. So sure. So we've done our annual mowing. We just mowed the ash dump. If you remember, we reported a couple years ago that we were having trouble with keeping grass on there and we have to have a cover on it. So we hired a gentleman who just basically by basic mowing, it reseeds, it regenerates itself through the mulching process. So that's done. We've done Revenue Terminal 1 to keep all the pampas grass down for our incoming beautiful terminal. And then of course we just mowed the wildlife area here. So thank you.
I'm glad we could get accommodation for the management of that area. It keeps down the invasive weeds, which are flammable, not edible for the wildlife. And so I saw that improvement this evening and I liked it. And I'm glad we're able to do that.
Rob,
you want to get some slides?
I think I took them out.
Rob. Okay. All right. Also, as a quick update, the wind project is furiously underway. We've got 15 different tasks happening simultaneously. We've got geotechs, topo survey, biological, all happening in the field. CEQA's kicked off in various specialties. So there's a lot going on with the wind project, and that's going really well. Nordic, there is a planning commission meeting a week from tonight, 6 o'clock. Board of Supervisors Chambers, it's the second in a series of two meetings for a workshop, and then potentially a meeting after that for approval, though the workshop could be continued as well. Spartina project's going well, the contracting's still underway, and we're starting to engage the cultural monitoring contract with the Wiat tribe. And I think that's a good enough summary.
Thanks, Rob. Any other staff reports, Mindy? We'll move on to district council and treasurer reports.
No report from council.
I'll just do a real quick update of what I've been doing the last month or so. Just every month we do the cash report and get the information from Mindy, and she does a real good job getting that out. She's been real current on that, and I do some final review of the general ledger so we can get you the monthly reports at these meetings. So also in April, there was a state annual state controller's compensation report. So that's something we have to do each year. That was due by the end of April, and that was prepared and filed. And then one thing that's on my list, and I think we need to look into it. I'm going to get together with Mindy and gather some information on our procurement policies. I want to review and possibly update, you know, our procurement policies, especially specifically for the federal expenditures as we get these real significant grants come in. I just want to make sure we're all up to date and we're getting all the documentation in the files that we need to. So that would be something if we determine we need to update those, we bring it to the board. So I'm just in the process of doing some research and gathering some information to bring in and talk to Mindy and get that started. So that would be down the line a little ways here. That's it.
Thank you, Mark. And thanks for doing that, because all those things we see in the news these days, it sure would be nice to not miss any report deadlines. Commissioner, committee reports.
Do I start?
Yes, please.
You're looking over at me. I don't have all that much to report, but I guess I'll do some bragging that, as I've mentioned many times, I did the perilous plunge last month and surprisingly was awarded, and I'm not quite sure what it means, but the grand poobah of the perilous plunge, and they gave me a very silly hat and a trophy. So, but I think that was partially because of all the generous donations people made to the Redwood Discovery Museum. And
do you have a picture?
I do have a picture, but I didn't bring it to put it up. I could have sent it to you to put up on the screen, but probably discretion was better.
You're too self-effacing.
Yeah. And then in staying in line with silly activities, the kinetic sculpture race is coming up this month, which crosses right in front of the marina and on day two for the bay crossing. And I'm also part of a team on that. So excited to see that going. And I think that's a great thing that brings a lot of attention to our community. I'm not sure, it hasn't run for 2 years, so I don't know what number we're up to now, if we skipped those last 2 years or not. And then harbor related, it was fun to see that big ship in the harbor. I will say that a number of different people, you're going to look it up. Yeah. I think it was in the Times Standard or the Journal or something, but a number of people approached me concerned that with the ship coming in, that there wasn't much outreach to a lot of the local community and the tour operators who really seem to miss out on, being able to bring tours around to the various different things. And I know that's happened in the past with the other ships that have come in the past. So I know that wasn't necessarily our role, but it does appear that, I'll just say that there was a misconnection that happened there. And, you know, one of the whole reasons for getting these big ships to come in is to support our local businesses. And
nice try.
Yeah. I'll text it to you and then we can put it up later. Well, okay, that's all I got. Thanks.
Thanks, Mr. Coleman. Patrick.
Well, I've been meeting with the Humboldt Bay Development Association, which is the other hat that I wear related to peninsula related economic development. And I'm glad that enterprise or group has been able to play a strategic role in the new market tax credits and may have some continuing use in terms of economic development on the peninsula. And then on day 41, after my new left titanium hip, I get into the Russian River, Kid Creek. That's me. I know my lips don't look like that normally, but when I'm sucking on a snorkel. And the main thing with this enterprise is make sure the snorkel's pointing up. But Kid Creek is a trib of the Russian, and it's almost in the estuary, below Monte Rio, trib of Austin Creek. And I've been in there for the last 6 years. for a private client, and my hip worked, and I found divine lighting. And if Larry can advance the PowerPoint, I will amuse. Yeah, there we go. Well, that's not really working, but this is kind of, it gives you a sense of what sublime light there is underwater. So there's like shafts of light coming down through the redwoods. And see the fish in this picture, there's a bunch of them. And I play the game with kids. It's hard to see them because they're camouflaged. Click the next one there, Larry, I think. Yeah, there we go. Okay, those are coho salmon in the back. They have fins that are like sails, and they have white lines on them, both on the top, the dorsal, and on the bottom, the anal fin. And then the other one nearest, that's actually a steelhead. So they look a lot alike. But in this creek, coho are dominant, which is pretty unusual. Next one. So that's all coho. And so this is really, you know, I'm like crawling on my belly like a salamander, and mostly you're not seeing that much, and then you get into them. And so then you have to be very still, and you hold your breath, and then you move in, take a picture, move in, move in, move in. And this is what you get. You get up close and personal, beautiful fish, great lighting, and I got lucky. And so, and this is the mystery fish. This is an ancient fish. This is a three-spined stickleback. So I'm not just prejudiced for salmonids, but I just thought it's been years since I showed fish pictures. Richard wants the videos back. I don't think I can go that far. But at any rate, I'm back in the water. My hip is totally functional. My physical therapy was not just good for my hip, but also for my head. And it's good to be back in the saddle and doing what I do. So thank you.
Thank you.
Back the license. Richard.
Pat, when are you going to be back out on the ball field?
Batting practice and coaching. I promise to give you some push-ups in a third base coaching box if you put me in.
Nice. of course, Pat already mentioned we had a Humboldt Bay Development Association meeting, and we also have a new member of that. So we replaced one. So we're in good shape, and we're ready to do whatever the Harbor District feels is necessary for us to use as a supporting task of doing something for this project. And Larry's on top of it and finding out the information that we need to move that forward. I also went and took a look at the cruise ship. That was nice to see the excitement of people. There's about 200 people on board. I think it holds about 800. So next time maybe, you know, we could coordinate a little bit better and get more people, you know, interested in what's going on there. That's about it. I had a softball game today. It said it got rained out. I would have played in the rain. I just want that to be public. But
you get rained out for that much rain?
I know, that's what I was saying. I'm done. Thank you.
So we don't have to hurry.
You know what I noticed? The cruise was in the Santa Rosa Press Democrat.
Nice.
With a photo.
Awesome.
The word did get out to some.
So we've had a busy couple of weeks with the cruise ship. That was highly entertaining, highly educational for all of us, including the people that operate in the port. Docking and moving that thing around was fun. Thanks to Dave Snyder for letting us use his dock. That was incredible. And then we've had a couple of meetings with the Wind Energy Committee. That's been ongoing and interesting. And then we've been working on bar pilots. And if there is someone out there, where am I looking at a camera? Is there someone out there that has a 1,600 ton license that would like to be a Humboldt Bay bar pilot? Please contact Larry Ochter. We are looking for you. We are recruiting bay pilots, and it takes some skills and it takes some experience, and we're willing to help you with both. So I think that's my plug for the pilots or pilot committee. Commissioner Newman is fishing currently off of Pigeon Point. I talked to him on the way to the meeting tonight, catching fish and having fun. There's, what do they say, Pat? The worst day Fishing?
Yeah.
Beats the best day working?
Yes, and I forgot to mention that I have a ticket to ride on the Real Steel on Sunday.
Oh.
And the swell is under 5 feet. And Tim Clausen put red hot in all caps in his fishing report yesterday.
For rockfish?
Salmon.
Oh, below the cape?
Nipping salmon. No, right outside here.
Oh.
And it's not that good for, like, if you've got a 10-foot boat, you're not going out. It's really pitchy. But if you have a good boat, like Real Steel, then you can fish in a little bit of wind. And you got him into him yesterday, big time. And so that's a good sign.
Yeah.
Fish are eating krill and salmon are going on out
there. Awesome. Contact your local guide. Get yourself out there to get the salmon. All right. That's all I have. Any correspondence?
I just wanted to bring up the California Energy Commission sent us a meeting invitation to basically they're outlining the transmission upgrades that would be required to do offshore wind. And I believe that's on the next Wednesday is what I believe that is at 9 a.m. And so
you'll send us the information.
We'll send you a link to that. And that's really is a big step because obviously workforce development, they also outline workforce development in there. They don't really touch on the port infrastructure in the report, but really the workforce investment, the transmission, and the port are really the big three things on the land portion of the project. And so that's the correspondence that we received. We also have a public records request that I'm working on. It's a big one that we're all working on, and we're going to need to do an extension on that one. They basically want to know have all the leases for all the properties that we have and any labor negotiations. There's a whole series of things. It's a lot of information that.
Who's that from?
I believe it's. Yeah, the National Longshoremen Union.
Okay.
Did you get the?
Next time. I'm looking forward to seeing the picture. I've already seen you dress goofy before, so it's not going to be a surprise to me. So we're going to move on to unfinished business. Item 10A, consideration of resolution 2022-04, a resolution to authorize the execution of a grant agreement and accept funds from the Maritime Administration of the U.S. Department of Transportation for a 2022 Port Infrastructure Development Program grant for the Humboldt Offshore Wind Terminal Project.
So move.
Second.
Go for it.
Thanks, Chris.
PIDP.
PIDP? Port Infrastructure Development Program. Wrong one. All right, let's do it this way. Here we go. Just if you ever see this billboard, I drove by it the other day and realized that this windmill right here is in direct line with where they'll be assembled. So just thought that was interesting. All right. So the quick overview, we are asking for $11.25 million dollars from MARAD. This year for the PDIP grant application. And we are offering $7.8 million in match leverage, and that's going to be entirely drawn from the CEC grant that you approved a couple of months ago for $10.45 million. So it takes a big chunk of that grant that was granted to us. And that's about 41% match. And the reason is the project that we came up with this year to get started is a nearly $20 million project. And to be competitive, we really want to get this money from MARAD. And so it was recommended to us to match it 40% instead of 20%. The project consists of construction of phase one, property acquisition, which is in the phase two area, and then permitting and engineering, which is phases one through four. So here's a breakdown of all the costs. So if I just can break this down one bit at a time, we've got construction of the access road, and that's about $2.8 million. Construction of the wetland mitigation, which is about $1.6 million. And those are both within phase one area. I'll show you a map in a moment. Then we've got a terminal yard, 11.5 acres, where we're going to be raising the site and, you know, leveling it and compacting it so that it's ready for hosting, you know, wind turbine multi-purpose tenants. So that's nearly, or, you know, $4.5 million. Then the property acquisition at 3.3, and then environmental permitting at 3.4, and engineering design 3.1. So for a total nearly 20 million, 19 million there. So as far as project components go, geographically, that's part one, two, three, and four. And I'll show you those on a map. So this purple outside line is the overall master plan. This yellow here is the terminal yard that we're going to be raising up. This is the wetland mitigation and the access road, and then that's the property acquisition. And here's the same stuff on the phasing map. Again, that's the total ask, and staff recommends that you adopt the resolution that authorizes the submittal of this grant application.
Yeah, I noticed in the staff report you had originally for the construction of $5,685,000, and now it's got almost $1 million, so you're able to find some other.
Yep. So when I wrote that a week ago, worked through the weekends, worked very late last night, so this was like right up to the last minute. So that was the best guess I had a week ago, but we've been going back and forth with our structural engineers and changing the estimate. So I think everything in there is accurate up to the point of the individual dollar amounts.
Perfect. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I appreciate the hard work that goes into these grants, and I like being in the running for what's considered a small grant in this league.
Yeah, it's our expectation that by winning this one, we'll set ourselves up for a $50+ million grant next year.
Thanks, Rob. Commissioners are done. I'll take it to the public committee. Do we have anybody from the public who would like to comment on our resolution 2022-04? If you would like to comment, please raise your hand or just speak up. Seeing none, I have a motion and a second to roll call vote.
Commissioner Marks, Commissioner Coleman. Commissioner Higgins?
Yes.
And President Dale?
Yes. Thank you. Motion passes unanimously. We'll move on to item 10B, receive report regarding status and projected schedule of intertidal maricultural pre-permitting project. Got it. Either way, Rob.
All right, so this is per your requests, and there's more detail in the staff report than I'm presenting here. Effectively, what we're talking about is a fast scenario, slow scenario of finishing the environmental impact report, bringing it to you for your consideration for approval between October and December of this coming year. That's this year.
Yeah. I think the fast schedule is already, you know, that's kind of long term.
The new fast schedule or the new slow schedule? That's our projection of what it's going to be.
Good. The slot's been pretty fast. There's probably fast. All right. Any comments from the commission?
I just started to engage Doug on this. Yeah, and Adam.
This does assume that we don't get work awarded to PIR. Past 2 months has been passing out. So this assumes that. That's why I feel confident in this schedule, but
any other comments from the board? Any comments from the public? Please signify by raising your hand or speaking up. No comments from the public? Then that's just a informational item. We're going to move on to new business. 11A, official vote to elect one candidate to serve as a regular special district and one candidate to serve as an alternate special district member of LAFCO. So do I have any nominations?
I'll nominate Troy McLeavy.
You need a second.
It is. Do you want to do it as a slate or do you want to do them individually?
Okay, good point. I'll do it as a slate. I'll have Troy Nicolini, who is an incumbent, to be the regular member, and Heidi Benzinelli to be the alternate member.
Second, if that's appropriate. So that's the slate you're offering. So I think that is motion.
Yeah.
So you're moving for those two candidates to be considered. I'm seconding.
Any comments from the board? I don't see Troy or Heidi on the in the public domain there. So I guess we're safe tonight.
Troy's done quite a bit of good service to the district in the past. And of course, his services for NOAA are essential.
And Heidi's Energizer Bunny. So.
And I served with Troy on the Small Peninsula Fire District. And
he doesn't have a mustache.
Huh?
He doesn't have a mustache. Sorry, I said that out loud. So I have a motion and a second. Any other? For Troy Nicolini, Heidi Benzinelli. I butchered her name. I know how to spell it too. I butchered it. Any comments from the public? Seeing none, we're going to move to a vote.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
Commissioner Higgins?
Yeah.
Commissioner Coleman?
Yeah.
And President Dale?
Yes. Thank you for your service, Troy and Heidi. We're going to move on to item 11B, review of preliminary budget and goals for Tidelands, Redwood Terminal 1, and Redwood Terminal 2.
Can you put on that slideshow, Mindy? So we're in the budget schedule, and we're now at the RMT1, RMT2, and Tidelands portion. And so we've been primarily going over the maintenance, which are the big ticket items, and then what the goals are for those projects. And I'm going to let Chris go ahead and take over and go over a lot of the maintenance projects that we have. Commissioner Marks had requested that we kind of outline a comparison between what was proposed or approved last year and what was not included in the budget versus what's in here today. And I have an Excel spreadsheet if you'd like to go in and take a look at some of those kinds of details as well. But those are not included in the slides and they were not included in your packet, but we do have them available if you wanted us to go over those as well. Chris, do you wanna go ahead and get started?
Sure. So we've moved our vessel expenses to our Tidelands category. So it's same as what we've always done on boats, just in a different area. And these are just some of the basic things we want to do. And the most important one would just be to identify the annual haul out maintenance of each of our district vessels. In the current years, we're using our vessels more than ever. It seems like we've come out of COVID and our activity on the water has been almost constant. So these are some of the basic things we want to do. We do have some deferred maintenance on Fire One. We have a monitor that we can use, but we have to do it by our methods to control the boat, not some of the robotics that are available on the boat. So we want to go ahead and take care of that. And we're having some failure in the wiring to our navigational accessories, which is the tower that you see on the top of the boat. Other than that, these are just some basic repairs. I guess we do have a novelty in there. We have an autopilot feature on Fire One that has never been installed. Never been connected. It's been installed on the boat, but it hasn't been connected. So we'd like to go ahead and get that connected and see if there is benefit from that. That's really it for our vessels. From the dollar standpoint, we're proposing to invest $20,000 in Fire One, $5,000 in the Port Authority boat. Then we have some smaller work vessels, the Barfly and one we affectionately refer to as Frankenstein. Those are the boats we use in the marina to do the bulk of our heavy work. And we have $5,000 there. And these are important repairs. These aren't gift asks. These are things that keep these vessels in top working order. So when we're called upon, we can respond. Moving on to Redwood Marine Terminal 1, knowing that we've got some pending development out there, we're trying to simply maintain the storage warehouse building so our existing fishery storage and aquaculture can continue. We've got a very long road in there, and so we have some deferred maintenance to do on that road to make it accessible for our current tenants. Again, we talked earlier, we've been mowing the vegetation to keep that area ready to go as we develop it. And then, of course, we're going to continue to pursue multi-purpose dock design and development options. And hey, we're in the home stretch. We're getting ready to close that THA transaction. So that's one of the Redwood Marine Terminal 1 goals for this year, is to hand that off to them. We get about $11,200 in warehouse rent, about $19,500 or $20,000 in storage rent. We do get fees for tonnage that goes over the dock. That's calculated as an occurs basis. That gives you a little idea of the revenue. And then expense-wise, in those goals that we listed, we'll spend about $10,000 in the general area of maintenance there, and then another $10,000 to maintain that road. So that's where we're at with Revenue and Terminal 1. If for some reason wind energy changes, maybe we'll come back to you for some additional investment there, but we're focused on a positive wind energy future. Moving on to...
It's just important to note that these don't show
and improvements.
So Redwood Marine Terminal 2, I am writing the slides. So continue to target efforts, our marketing efforts on aquaculture and other water-related uses. We do have our interim uses, and we certainly want to maintain those folks. And then we're trying to get in the home stretch with Nordic. So we are assisting the tenant to get their permits to develop their fish farm. We're removing all the debris within the leased area. We reported on that last month. We're down to just one pile. And then developing building plans for future tenant relocation. Part of the process of Nordic coming in is some building demolition. So the intent now is to relocate our existing tenants on site into the main warehouse.
And probably one of the biggest things of all, of course, is going to be to get, once Nordic gets their permits, is in conjunction with the removal of all the things there, is really coordinating with Nordic with the new infrastructure and laying out all the planning work as they're doing the demolition to make sure there's no disruption in the utilities that are going to go in, and then also planning for the upgrades of new utilities that are going to serve our existing warehouse facilities and our existing tenants and all the other things that are going on at RMT too. And so there's a lot of things that are on there that are really going to be tied to the Nordic Aquaculture Project, and that a lot of those are within their budgets as opposed to in our budget, because those will primarily be tenant improvements.
So this is more in Rob's world. He's working on permitting and developing the master saltwater intake. for use. We have our annual routine maintenance and structural integrity assessment of the outfall line that's coming out this year, and it's a requirement of our state lands commission lease. We're continuing some dock upgrades. We've been putting a little bit of money each year into the RMT2 dock for some of the failing planks and rails. We have the liquor silo contents to remove. And then we have some perimeter fencing that's pretty compromised at this point in time. So we need to secure our site. And finally, we're working on an upgrade for the warehouse lighting. We're getting closer and closer to those estimates every day. I'm working with gentlemen over at RCEA to accomplish that. So we get about $587,000 in estimated gross income over at Redwood Marine Terminal 2 from the rents from the existing tenants. And we're going to spend a little bit of that. We've got $20,000 for dock improvements. The warehouse lighting project I mentioned at $20,000, that might trend up a little bit. Site cleanup of those remaining debris is $15,000. The outfall maintenance is $60,000. That's to get a team of divers for 2 days to go out and work, find the line, jet it out, and check the diffusers. Finally, the removal of the liquors from the silos. So we're looking to spend about $135,000 on these larger capital projects. Some of the deferrals, dock improvements, this is what's basically remaining. And I mentioned before, we're working these these deferrals down as the years go on. So we'll have another $20,000 in dock improvements, some more on our fencing, roads, the exterior lighting, which we'd like to attack. And then that nice siding that we put up a few years back, starting to need some areas where we'll have to do some painting to maintain that. But we feel we can do those in the coming year. That wouldn't be necessary to do this year.
Any comments from the board? Mr. Marks.
How many gallons approximately do we have of liquors that are still in the silos? And have we taken a pH level to see where they're at about?
So we have tested for pH. We know we have the equivalent of rainwater. That's been verified by the testing that we've done to date. And also we had a small release at one point in time. So we had officials on site, they tested it as rainwater. So I believe right now we have close to 40,000 gallons, I believe is the number, cumulative. But keep in mind, we take on rain. So until we can secure the ability to remove those, we're going to continue to take on some volume.
So those are sitting at about zero as far as pH.
Yeah,
it's about seven.
It would be negative. So, I believe 40,000 gallons. I could be incorrect on that number. We don't have the ability to put roofs on those. We have some of the parts, but we're in many cases, we'd have to work at over 100 feet. And we don't have the current skill set or the tools to do that. So that would be the only way to stop taking on more fluid would be to cap those off or get our permit so we can go ahead and get the cooperation from the agencies to release that material.
Have we ever been having any discussion at all with the EPA about their agreement to take those tanks down?
We do work with Region 9. There have been requests into them. I think at this point in time, we've got to get rid of some remaining materials. We could have probably a more in-depth conversation on that. In the end, they were drained, but there were no roofs on them. So they've taken on rainwater. It's essentially what we have.
You can't leave the valve open.
And these are an accumulation. We can't do that, no.
And why did the demolition?
Ultimately, we need to get a permit to release the water. So even though it's tested as it is, we can't just release it. So
release the water.
Right. And our options are potentially to do it on site as the US EPA had done it originally and using a method there, or another option is to get an MPDES permit and send it out our marine outfall line. And those are the two identified options. There was some discussion about taking it off site. You can imagine the cost in that. So that would be an option we have to take off the table.
And just for the record, that one that is on the far east side, I grouted when I was about 25 years old. I did not do a very good job. I can't understand how that thing hasn't just fell apart right now.
It's not leaking.
They obviously did something right.
Lots of overtime hours.
Yeah, well, so done. Just well to just sort of because we brought up the silos is that, you know, we in the first place is that some of them don't where the black liquors were stored, which was the main contamination of concern, is what happened was that the EPA, when they removed the material, while they were working on other portions of the site, all the reports and all the documentation show rainwater went into the tanks when the EPA was here. And then all the reports show the EPA tested it and it was rainwater and they discharged it on site, just surface discharged it on site. And then we tested it and we sent it to a lab in Canada that specialized in pulp manufacturing. And they said there's no, they couldn't find anything that was associated with any pulp products that were in there. And then with SHN, we took additional samples and we took them to North Coast Labs to see if there were any other items in there with the pH samples and other potential constituent contamination. And they didn't find anything. And then as Chris said, is then we had an incident where there was some leakage that came out that got into the secondary containment. And we immediately notified the County Department of Environmental Health and they sent a person out and they did field sampling and they verified that it was rainwater and the pH and everything was good. And then we took all of this documentation and then I transmitted that to the North Coast Water Quality Control Board and have requested that they authorize us to discharge it onto the groundwater, onto the ground as rainwater, as per our stormwater management plan that is was currently laid out for the site. And so I just wanted to disclose all of that because this is really an important issue. And it was a big concern to make sure that there wasn't a problem with that rainwater, but every test has come out that neutral pH and no contamination that was associated with it. The only on one or two of the tanks, to the best of my knowledge, was there was a slight coloration that were in there. And what we were saying is that we felt like before we were going to discharge it, we were going to run it through a filter, which would remove the color. And then all the coloration would be removed out of it entirely.
And do we have an estimate of the cost for that?
We have a guess.
A guess would be fine.
It's in the budget, somewhere between $20,000 and $32,000. But these are us using professionals who do this, but it's really a wild guess at this point in time.
Thanks. And I guess lastly, yes, they are in the Nordic plans to demolish those. And so if the Nordic gets approved, then they will demolish those and that will just eliminate any potential or future hazards on that site.
They all come down someday.
They're gonna keep the grout in one tank.
Yeah. We'll make a necklace out of the grout for you. Any other comments from the board? I'm gonna take it to the public. Anybody from the public wish to comment on the budget goals, Tidelands, Terminal 1, Terminal 2? If you would like to speak on this subject, please speak up or raise your hand. Seeing none, we're going to go. I think that's just informational as well. Thank you for that, you guys, gals. We'll move on to 10C. Consider adopting resolution 2022-03, a resolution to authorize the execution of a grant agreement and accept funds from the California Department of Fish and Wildlife for secretariat services for the Humboldt Safety Committee of the Humboldt Bay Area for fiscal year 2022-2023.
Isn't it secretarial?
Second.
Secretariat was a horse racehorse.
I read it as it's written.
I know.
I'm sure Ryan approved that.
Secretariat was named after the Secretariat of the Public Committee.
The Secretariat. Sorry, I did second.
So I just wanted to mention that this is really an important piece for us, and it really is the safety committee. It funds the safety committee and the apparatus, everything from oil spill response to the the bar pilots, you know, the sheriff, the fish and wildlife, all of the different recreational fishermen, commercial fishermen are part of the Harbor Safety Committee, along with the Coast Guard, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. And one of the things that we're committed to work on, and again, I wanted to thank Amber Sheehan for this and our staff, is that we're working on updating the Harbor Safety Plan. And our plan is to get that completed within the next few months and then to bring that to the Safety Committee, which really updates all of the contact information, all of the safety information on what are the tugs, what are the apparatuses, where are they located in the bay. And so anyway, I just wanted to give you an update on what this grant is all about and then how it helps us to in the day-to-day implementation.
Thanks. I support this. I sat on the Harbor Safety Committee for many years before I was appointed to this board. They do a very essential function.
Safety first.
Yeah, they do more than that, and it's OSPR's a really good partner with us, so we're grateful for that. Sorry, do I have a motion? A second. Mm-hmm. Any more comments from the board? Any comments from the public on item 10C? Speak up or raise your hand. Seeing none, I'm going to move to the motion. I have a motion. A second.
Commissioner Coleman. Commissioner Higgins.
Yes.
Commissioner Marks.
Yes.
President Dale.
Yes. All right. Future agenda items. So on here, I have got the Green Diamond Shared Services Agreement. We talked about that a lot, but I think it's just an update. Mm-hmm. The dredge update. We'd like to know more about what's going on with the dredge. Mm-hmm. Hours actualized by the barfly. How many hours has that been used?
On that one, we just give you an update right now. It's been used zero in the last year. And then in the prior year, it was less than 100 hours is what it was. Yeah, it was less than 100 hours in the last year.
Okay, all right. And then, you know, Commissioner Newmy is gonna have to give us a commercial salmon season update, but maybe Pat could do that real quick.
They'll be with samples.
Yeah, with samples.
They'll give us an update on Monday.
On Monday.
Yeah, on the sports fishing season.
There you go.
I haven't gone commercial.
I'll put sport on there too.
And I just wanted to make a comment that I learned something again with Commissioner Higgins' explanation of the differences of salmon and steelhead. Thank you.
So what you're telling me is it's not true, then, Richard. You can teach an old dog new tricks.
Roof.
And then the mutual aid agreement. I think there's a lot of us that would like to know more about what that means and what you're doing on it. Any other comments for
there
the good
he is.
Of the
commissioner?
There he is.
Commissioner. Wait a minute.
Any other comments for the good of the order?
No, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'm going to adjourn then. Have a good week, you guys.
Thank you. Now, this looks like you're in the Space Force.
Are you automatically in the Space Force? I'll point out that both the helmet and the trophy have a trophy. You have it in your head.